past are coming, they can at the most transport it to the heavenly planets. Prabhupada is writing about these three karnas in various chapters. Actually, if you see in various, in Bhagavatam purports and in many places, even in this particular canto, first chapter, and this is the second verse in which Prabhupada is especially mentioning about the different aspects of knowledge, which is mentioned here. And then he says, Srimad Bhagavatam gives information about the absolute truth in his personal teaching, because in this purport Prabhupada is mentioning that, Prabhupada is saying that Srimad Bhagavatam is a science of devotional service and it is very dear to Vaishnavas. And it is a mature fruit of Vedic knowledge and is a superior subject matter above the three khandas, namely karma, jnana and upasana. So in the purport to the second verse of first chapter of this first canto, Prabhupada again writes, Srimad Bhagavatam is higher than impersonal literatures and higher than the jnana khanda division of the Vedas. It is even higher than the karma khanda division and even higher than the upasana khanda division, because it recommends the worship of the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Shri Krishna. And so he says further, in the karma khanda there is competition to reach heavenly planets for better sense gratification. And there is similar competition in the jnana khanda and the upasana khanda. But Srimad Bhagavatam is superior to all of these because it aims at the supreme truth, which is the substance or the root of all categories. So, in this purport also Prabhupada is stressing that ritualistic ceremonies are required. Karma khanda and jnana khanda is recommended at the initial stage, especially those who are there in Grihastha ashram, so there are ceremonies mentioned. But in all ceremonies, the purpose is to please Lord Vishnu. Sam Siddhi Hari Toshanam. And that is what is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why it says it is very dear to the Vaishnavas, because it is a mature fruit and it talks about the devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So that is the culmination of all knowledge which is mentioned in Vedic scriptures. Vedic scriptures are different sections, and sometimes Prabhupada says, sometimes people get allured by different sections and they start worshipping demigods or they follow the impersonal path. So Prabhupada is cautioning right in all purpose. Actually you see in Bhagavad Gita, in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, at many places, rather at some places it is being condemned. One of our very famous acharyas, Narottam Das Thakur, he mentioned in one of his songs in his book Prema Chandrika, he says karma kanda, jnana kanda, sakale vishaya bhanda. Vishaya means poison. This karma kanda, this jnana kanda, they're all basically pots of poison. And one who mystically, because it is mentioned in Vedas, one who mystically thinks that, okay, this is also going to help me in my progress, actually is drinking poison. And because of that, he is going to wander in many, many lifetimes. He says, karma kanda, jnana kanda, sakale vishaya bhanda. Bhanda means pot, bhanda. And visha means poison. So for devotees, the only recommended thing to be followed from the Vedic scriptures is pure devotional service to the Lord. And that is what Prabhupada is saying. There is a difference between vipras, between brahmanas and between Vaishnavas. He says vipras are expert in karma khandas, all ceremonies, all, you know, this is good for your material life, good for health, good for family. And brahmanas, they have knowledge about various aspects of spiritual life, but when their knowledge becomes mature and they start increasing everybody in worship of the Supreme Lord, that is Vaishnava. So Prabhupada has mentioned at many places that Vaishnavas are even superior than Brahmanas. We hear in the story of Haridas Thakur also how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he's offering this Shraddha Patra to Haridas Thakur as compared to the Brahmanas. And he says, it is much more beneficial to serve a Vaishnava as compared to serving thousands of Brahmanas. Why? Because the point which is being stressed here is that he is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was one of them. Of course, he invited these Brahmanas because he was interested in knowing the spiritual benefit, spiritual future of the child. And in the last paragraph, Prabhupada is mentioning that it is very, very important to have this class of people. There is a dire need of such people in the social structure. And it is a duty of the state to maintain Brahmanas comfortably. Actually speaking, Brahmanas are not supposed to work. The duty of Brahmana is Patana Patan Yajana Yajana. Two things. He should study the scriptures and preach, and he should engage himself in yajna and engage others in performing yajna. That's it. And it is the duty of the state. State means basically the rest of the ashramas. Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. It is the duty of the state to maintain them comfortably. Brahmana should never be in any anxiety for how I am going to feed myself. If Brahmana is in anxiety, then how can he guide this? So Prabhupada said, he's compared the social structure like a body, you know. He said, like Brahmanas are like head and Vaishyas are like, you know, stomach, and Kshatriyas are like hands, and Shudras are compared to the legs. And he said that sometime if there is some problem in the legs, it is manageable. If some problem is there in the hands, it's still manageable. Even if your stomach is not okay, it is manageable. But if there is some problem in the brain or head, then the body is not going to work properly. So similarly, in the social structure, if there are no advanced Brahmanas, then the structure is going to collapse. And that's what happening in the present scenario. That is why when Prabhupada went to West and somebody asked, of course he answered many ways this question, but at one point of time he said, I want to basically create Brahmanas. The whole purpose of this society is actually to create Brahmanas. And Brahmanas doesn't mean just by Brahman initiation actually, just to have a, you know, Prabhupada says, you 2 rupee janeu and you can't. Brahmana is Brahma Janiti Iti Brahmana. One who knows Brahma, one who knows the Supreme Lord, he is Brahmana. So the purpose of reading Vedic scripture is to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As we were discussing day before yesterday also, that is the whole purpose. We may not be qualified to serve the Supreme Lord right now, but Vedic scriptures encourage us to engage ourselves, engaging our different senses. Like we hear from the example of Ambarish Maharaj, that Savyamana Krishna Padarvinda, in that famous verse, Prabhupada used to say it, he was expertly engaging all his senses in the service of the Supreme Lord. That is the only way we can escape from getting caught by the influence of the material nature. Otherwise, Krishna says, Devi Haishi Gunamai Mamamaya Durataya. We will also get caught up in this, either in the material karmakanda thing or jnanakanda thing or upasana. Very beautiful. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeve Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. There are many Mahatmas. I'm not saying about you. There are many Mahatmas. But he's saying one such Mahatma who accepts Vasudeva Sarvamiti, who accepts, yes, Krishna is everything for me. That Mahatma is
not only durlabha, sudurlabha, very, very real. Very, very real. So that is the purpose of human life. That is the purpose of devotional service also. To accept in totality and to practice. That yes, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Engaging ourselves in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord. And if Brahmanas are engaged in that way, and if they are taken care, Prabhupada says, then they could give free service to the people in general. Brahmana is not supposed to charge anybody. In the early system of Gurukul, kings will send their kids, children, to Gurukul, but they will not charge any fees. Now, of course, there is no system of Gurukul, and even the education system is totally based on money. Actually, somebody was mentioning, education is the best business these days. That is the best way of earning money, actually. It is totally commercialized. Totally commercialized. It the same thing, it never goes in recession, you know. This business will never go down. And people are actually interested in making money more than making the future of the students, children. But Brahmana knows that I am supposed to encourage, guide them about spiritual life. So they can give free service to people in general. What service? Department of Vedic knowledge. Knowledge about Vedic scriptures. Because here, it is Prabhupada saying right in the beginning, it is a guideline for civilized man in every respect. So even for material life, actually Shastras speak, tell us how to eat, how to sleep. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks this question. He is asking about the symptom of a devotee, how he walks, how he eats, how he talks. It means even our basic activities, walking, talking, eating, sleeping, that requires guidance. That requires, you know, proper direction. People just don't know how to actually, what to eat, how to eat. And Prabhupada taught us, especially in ISKCON, you know, like I remember the first day when I came to ISKCON and I was asked to earn prasad because I was not knowing. So, you know, generally, you know, before coming to ISKCON, people use both hands to eat prasad. So, some devotee pointed out, oh, what are you? Are you a Shudra? He said, what is Shudra? What is that? Why are you using two hands? I was surprised. He says, according to Vedic scriptures, one should use only right hand. Of course, until as one is a left hander, you know. You should only use one right hand for honoring prasad. Simple. So Prabhupada is saying Vedic scripture is a storehouse of knowledge for both material and spiritual life. That is why it is very important to understand kings like Yudhishthira Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, all the kings, they were called Raj Rishis, you know. They were kings, but they were consulting always the Brahmanas. Now people have consultants, people are working as consultants in different companies. But they don't know what is the goal of human life. So what consultancy they will give? And that is why the whole society is in chaos. Prabhupada was very, very specific about this. That is why he said there is dire need of Brahmanas. Dire need. Emergency. Vaishnavas. Brahmanas. Who can guide the human society. There is no guidance. And most of the people, people don't want guidance. Everybody wants to live the way they think is good. That is called, you know, whimsical vision. That's why he says, everybody needs, they are guides for the civilized man. You can't act whimsically. This whimsical behavior, whimsically means, you know, whatever my mind is. People have their understanding, okay, preconceived notions about their way of living. That's not going to help them become materially also happy. What to talk of spiritually happy. People are not even materially happy these days. In the ancient times, people were actually materially happy. When we get up in the morning, we have headache, body ache everywhere. But you know, people in the ancient times, they would get up, get fresh and go for their work without any tension.
and they will work nicely, come back in the evening, sit with their family, enjoy life, and of course, because they were keeping Krishna in the center. So materially also, they were happy because they were following Vedic scriptures. Vedic scriptures are meant for human beings. They are Krishna's words, Vedic scriptures. And of course, for devotees, Prabhupada is mentioning one most important thing is that for devotees, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear. Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the Vaishnavas. Very dear. So Prabhupada said devotees means if they have two hands, in one hand they should be beat back and in another hand they should have Bhagavatam. That's it. Rest you can keep in your pocket as and when required. But these days, you know, people always keep their mobile phones in their hand. I'm just okay because you need to communicate with people, but it's not that you all, and always, you know, of course, by every passing day, they're always on their phone, always texting and listening. Whereas here it says for Vaishnavas, actually, Prabhupada says they can live simply by hearing Bhagavatam. That is what the whole Bhagavatam is teaching. Swadhu, swadhu, pade, pade. You know, there are two verses, pade, pade. Where in Bhagavatam it comes, at one place it says, padam, padam, yat, vipadam. You know what is it? At every step, there is vipada. There is anxiety, problem. Vipada. Something is waiting for us, something negative. Whereas, those who are relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, for them, it is swadhu, swadhu, pade. At every step, the relish. It is nectarine, Prabhupada says. It is a mature fruit. Rasamalayam. This material world is called by Krishna as dukhalayam. You know, the contrast is there. Krishna is giving knowledge about both things. That's why we have the option. After explaining the whole Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Krishna says, now it's up to you. Yatha ichatatak. Now it's up to you. So there are two things. One is rasamalyam is there and one is dukhalayam is there. Now it's up to us what we want to enjoy. And of course, by mercy of Vaishnava Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada, we have the opportunity to actually relish rasamalyam. Prabhupada has given purpose, nice purpose. Prabhupada says my purpose are basically like my spiritual excesses. Prabhupada used to read, he has heard so many Vaishnava Acharya commentaries, and after death he is summarizing everything in his purpose. So every single statement is important and relevant for all of us, and especially in this text today, in the purport, Prabhupada is saying that we have to elevate ourselves from the level of Vipra, from the level of Brahmana up to the level of Vaishnava. And Vaishnava's prime duty is to relish Srimad Bhagavatam. Like we are discussing the same verse. You know, madhichita madhgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathyantas mam nityam. My devotees, what is the symptom of my devotees? Krishna says, kathyantas mam nityam. And that's how they are tushyanti cha ramanti cha. They are completely satisfied and always blissful. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. How? Kathyantas cha mam nityam. Because they always discuss, they always hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we are being encouraged by Prabhupada in his various purports that we should not compromise with anything less than pure devotional service. That is the purpose of human life. Save punsam paro dharmo yator bhakti adokshaje ahituki apratihata yenatma suprasiddhi. In all the verses, Krishna and his pure devotees are explaining, if you want to become really blissful, yenatma prasiddhati, for the complete satisfaction of the self. Right now we are not completely satisfied. There is something missing. There is something missing. He says, what do you do? Ahaituki apratihatha. Save punsam paro dharma yator bhakti adokshaje. You have to perform devotional service with these two features. Ahetuki. Ahetuki means what? Unmotivated, causeless. When Krishna is giving his causeless mercy, then why we should bring any cause? Or we keep, you know, we have some causes, some list. Okay, I will perform your devotional service provided. You know, star, you know there is a star at conditions apply. So we perform devotional service, but conditions apply. So we come with so many conditions to Krishna. Krishna says, that is all this. Gyan Kanda, Karam Kanda, Upasana Kanda. Upasana Kanda is demigod worship, or even that worship which is constrained by conditions. But here it says, Ahetuki. And second, very important, even if we are Ahetuki doing, but Apratihata, uninterrupted. Interruption is going to be there, or going to be there. And like we were reading the day before yesterday verse, when we were talking about the shelter thing, taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. You know, he was saying that this Parikshit will become, he will take the shelter of the Supreme Lord by surrendering himself. So, actual shelter is tested, but interruption comes. As long as there is no problem in devotional service, we have an easy sailing. But when some problem comes, and if you still continue, that means you are actually surrendered. You have actually taken shelter of the Supreme Lord. So these two points are very important. And these two points automatically come in every devotee's consciousness once he realizes Srimad Bhagavatam. Because at every step, in all the pastimes which are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, we see devotees like Prahlada, Dhruva, and so many devotees, uninterrupted and unmotivated devotional service. And then, Yenatma Suprasiddhati. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who want to realize the higher stage. Nirmat Saranam, he says. Tatha Paramahans, Kunti Maharani is praising Krishna. You are to be understood, you are to be discussed, you are to be realized by those who are Tatha Paramahansana, Munina, and what is it called? Amalatmana. Three qualities. So when Prabhupada is encouraging us that Vaishnavas are engaged in the realization of Srimad Bhagavatam, means these three qualities are to be developed. Paramahansa. We are not even hansas. Actually, we are, you know, Prabhupada says, as long as we are interested in material life, we are crows. These are the two types of birds, you know, crows and swans. So, you will find big contrast in these two birds. You will never find a crow in a clean place. And you will never find a swan in a dirty place. And Prabhupada has mentioned in his purpose, you know, what is the quality of the Paramahansa Hansa. You will only go for the nectar. Tata Paramahansa Nam. And the Muni Nam, thoughtful, intelligent. And real intelligence means, like Sanatana Goswami is mentioning, when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, oh, people are considering me as an intelligent person, but I don't know. KMR. Who am I? Whom I belong to, and why I am suffering these three trapatraya. So that is intelligence. So then he says, Tatha Paramahansa, she says, Tatha Paramahansa na Munina and Amalatmana. Amalatmana means free from this dirt of material life. So Prabhupada is saying all these three things are there, summarized in this. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in one shloka, he says all these three things, karma kyana, jnana kyana, vishaya kyana, they are actually vishabhad. If you are interested in this, then you are actually drinking poison. Just leave it aside. And become amalatmana. So right now, most of the people, most of even us, we are more worried and concerned about our materialistic activities. Then it comes to knowledge, then it comes to worship. And then it comes to pure devotional service. So, Prabhupada is mentioning there is a long way to go. There is a long way to go. From material life to pure devotional service. Long way to go. But only hope for all of us is that under the guidance of pure devotees of Lord, if we relish the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a science, Prabhupada says, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a science of devotional service, and it is very dear to Vaishnavas. We should appreciate, even if we are not able to, like we were saying today, even if we are not able to chant the Hare Krishna, we should try to chant the Hare Krishna. We should appreciate. In another verse, in the Kunti Maharaj is saying, if you just appreciate how others are performing devotional service, you are going to get the mercy. You know, Shadavanti Gayanti, Gradanti Abhikshana, Smarnanti Nandanti, Tave Hitam Jana. Smarnanti Nandanti. If you take place in others' devotional service, Taeva Pashyanti Acharena Tavakam. Immediately, Pashyanti, you can see the lotus feet of Lord by doing these five activities. Shanavanti, hearing, Gayanti, narrating, Shanavanti, Gayanti, Granhanti. What? Granhanti means accept. Smarnanti, remembering, and Nandanti. We should be happy. We should be happy when we are in association with devotees. Oh, they are performing such nice devotional service. That is Nandanti. In the translation, Prabhupada says in that verse that if one becomes happy by seeing others' devotional service, Krishna is pleased. And Taeva Pashyanti, he can immediately see the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So that is what is mentioned in Bhagavatam. This is what Bhagavatam is talking about, all these five activities. And of course, in today's verse, Prabhupada is saying that a couple of points, but he's stressing on this particular point that Vaishnava is much more elevated than Brahmana because he is not limited to only ritualistic activities, and he becomes dear to the Supreme Lord by engaging in the transcendental loving service. You know, Prabhupada has used the words very selectively. Engagement in loving. It's not a bhakti doesn't mean only devotion, devotional service. You can't have only devotion. Of course, devotion has to be there, but then it is practical devotional service. And engagement is important. Right from morning till night, Prabhupada has given us this formula of engagement. And this engagement in pure devotional service, activities, will purify us. And then we will actually be performing devotional service. This point is to be understood. Right now we are not performing pure devotional service, but we are engaging ourselves. But this engagement should be, you know, there are two words, engagement, E-N-G-A-G, and if you remove the third word, G, it's C, replace, what is that? Engagement. Engagement. E-N-C-A-G-E. So either engagement in pure devotional service or engagement in this material world. Of course, Krishna is too liberal to give us the choice. So Parikshit, we'll be hearing about more in the... See, this one character, Parikshit Maharaj, is actually setting up an ideal example in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, how we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada used the word rapt attention. Have you heard this word? Prabhupada is using rapt attention. Not only attention, rapt attention. He was so much attentive, Parikshit. You know, if you read the whole Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, he will sometimes mention some instance in a very short statement. Okay, this happened. Like I was reading one day, then in the 10th canto, he mentioned this Kaliya Daman Leela in one statement. Shukadeva Goswami, one statement, in one shloka, that there was a Kaliya demon residing in the Yamuna and it was creating poison and Krishna came and killed. Topic over. But then, this Parikshit Maharaj was hearing it with so attention and inquired, oh, how it happened to you? I want to hear it in detail. We don't want to hear Bhagavatam in detail. He says, okay, time over, please. Yeah, no. Bhagavatam class is the toughest time for the devotees to be attentive. Of course, even chanting, but somehow or other, because that is the first activity in the morning for our spiritual life, so we try to stay awake, but when it comes to Bhagavatam class, actually it is tough. And of course it is more austere to hear than to speak. I know. So, it is an encouraging thing. You know, Bhagavatam encourages us to hear Bhagavatam, actually. somebody was asking some devotee, what is the result of devotional life? Like hearing Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, performing devotional service. What you are going to achieve, what you are going to attain. So, the devotee says that by performing devotional service, you like to perform more devotional service. That is its real test. Chanting Hare Krishna mantra gives you such a big taste that you want to chant more. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam gives you such a nice relation that you want to hear more. That is our test. Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. So we can develop that by hearing these verses, especially in association with devotees, and Prabhupada has given this wonderful system that wherever we are, we read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and purify ourselves. So for us in the today's verse, the most important thing is Srimad Bhagavatam is dear to Vaishnavas, so we must stick to it. It is Rasamalayam. If we don't go for this Rasamalayam, then we have to stick back in Dukhalayam. Okay, I'll stop here. Any suggestion, question, comments?
So, while you are giving this, I have 2 points. I'll tell you this to one of my friends drank the other day, and he was telling about Prabhupada's purpose. He said, we write a paper, materially, we have to consult so many literature, so many things in the libraries and that. So time consuming. At least 1 week is gone for writing one paper. And Prabhupada has in such nice purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. How much money and how much
and also Prabhupada said Krishna is dictating me. So because Prabhupada wanted to glorify Krishna, so Krishna, of course Krishna is there in everybody's heart, but especially in the heart of pure devotees, Krishna personally appear and encourages. So he shows that, yes. What is the second point?
The second point was about Brahmana when we were talking.
Yeah.
Normally they are talking about the Kal Sardosh.
What is it?
You go to first of all the Kal Sardosh.
Okay, Kal Sardosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they will say that, well, if it costs you 30,000 rupees to get something done.
They talk here also in Australia about the Kal Sardosh.
You show some horoscope, some astrology, yes. Somebody, they were Kalasar Dosh, and you have to spend 35,000 rupees to get rid of those. So this is what is going on.
You know what happened?
In the name of
So I will tell you one last thing I will tell you. So, you know, generally people go to astrologers and palmists to consult, okay, what is wrong with our lines? And how we can correct it. So Prabhupada says, there's no, whatever is there, you just chant Hare Krishna and clap, and all your bad lines will be removed. There's no need of correcting even. You can remove them. So, yeah, as you said, instead of spending so much money and breaking your head with astrologers, even if, yeah, that's why he says, even in material life, even if something is there, you just chant Hare Krishna and Krishna will remove all your bad lines. All unauspicious lines will be removed. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji.
I wonder, what if Brahmana, by some circumstances, like walked on the street and found himself in a situation when, like, other people need protection and there are no shelters around. So, like, would it be still like the duty of Brahmana to protect other people?
You're talking of physical protection?
Yes. Yes. Which is quite, unusual for Brahmana. So
yeah, if he can help him some way, there's no harm in his helping, but actual help will be along with that physical help. He can actually give him spiritual help also. Of course, physical help is required, physical protection is required, so if he is capable of doing it, he can offer that, but if the other fellow is receptive, then Brahmana should find this an opportunity to give him the spiritual help also. Because Prabhupada many verses, many places has mentioned it. Physical or material protection, material help is incomplete. Even if you protect somebody physically, like medically, or you know, if you give food and shelter and clothes and everything, but until unless he is given the spiritual knowledge, he will never be completely happy. So along with that, that must be given. That must be given. There is no harm in Brahmanas giving physical protection if he can give. But his prime objective is not to open hospitals, not to open other things. His prime objective is to open spiritual rooms, spiritual places, so that he can guide. There is no harm otherwise. But his prime objective is. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I actually meant like an ordinary situation, like, for example, in some places, not in Australia, it's not very safe. And like, you know, you can just pass by and you can witness someone, like, bashing someone, or, and you think, oh, I must intervene. But, you know, like, the brahminical qualities are not the same as the kshatriyas. So we are not like trained to fight or something. So I just wonder, like, what's the Shastra's point of view on that, and what's the most effective way in such a situation to behave?
There must be a special section in Shastras, and we can go through that. But I think so in general, it depends on the time, place, and circumstances, and your capacity, and the person who is actually on the suffering end. Definitely, if he's a pious person, if he's a devotee, you must intervene and try to help him out. But if it is a routine task, this bashing thing is going on always on the streets, and if you think that you may not be able to do much, then you can avoid also, because in that course you may not get a bash. I mean, you may not, and you may be, you know, lamenting over instead of chanting my rounds and keeping myself and utilizing myself. I just involved. So, see, social help is good within limits. And you know, like, even we have seen those who are expert devotees, actually, those who are expert devotees, you know, there is something called mediation, you know. You know, there is some dispute between two parties, and the devotee is not even known to them. So if they ask, if they seek, then actually he can help in mediating and solving the problem. But see, generally, because those were devotees, they should be more concerned about preaching spiritual life, because that will solve the real problem. Even if you free that fellow from the bashing, but again, tomorrow somebody else will beat him. That's the nature of this material world. The fellow who is getting beaten up is practically facing his karma, right? So, along with rescuing him, if you guide him, how you can be free from eternal bashings of this material world by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, that is real protection. You can help if you can, if you are in a position, but then you should. And that is the right time, actually, you know. Prabhupada said, hit the iron and it is hot. So if you are rescuing a person, so he is very grateful to you, very obliged to you. And then you must say, now I have saved you, but mind, right now you chant Hare Krishna mantra and you start reading Bhagavad Gita, and then you will be free from all these things. So if you are competent enough to do this, then you can get involved in this. But you think, oh no, I can help him in physically, but if I tell about Bhagavad Gita and chanting Hare Krishna, then probably he will beat me. So then it's better to avoid him. Then it's better to avoid him. Because the real purpose is not solved, huh? Our real purpose is to help him spiritually. So if you revert to that, it's better. Okay, I would let him face his karma and time will tell him. But if you can tell him, okay, this is your karma and you can be free from your karma by chanting and reading, then there is no harm. There's no harm. Yes, you'll have to finish, yes.
But for example, Vrtasana in Bhagavan.
Okay.
Vrtasana. He wanted to take on the head of Kachyo.
Yeah. Now you want to say those, yes. Come in. Oh. Question.
Yeah. You mean to say, you are saying that Narada is already given. Okay.
So, but later on, Narada himself is telling Vyas there that why did you not, you are feeling despondent because you failed to glorify the Lord.
Yeah.
So, whereas we see that Narada himself failed to glorify the Lord, I'm using the word fail because
of the Upasana Gandhi.
Yeah. Why Narada may not go that extra mile?
See, when I actually in one of the lectures, Prabhupada is saying, so the idea is that among the sons of Brahma, Daksha was mostly interested in the Karmakanda section, materialistic enjoyment section. And the four Kumaras, they were more concerned with the knowledge part. Now the third part is Upasana Kanda. Actually, Prabhupada translates Upasana Kanda as worship of the Supreme Lord and the then gods, actually speaking. But in the purport, today's purport, Prabhupada is saying that when the Brahmas become mature in this Upasana Kanda, so Upasana Kanda does not actually only mean the worship of demigods. It actually includes both, but then when it becomes exclusive for the Supreme Lord, then it is pure bhakti. So Narada, when I was mentioning, I mean to say that out of these three, this karma, jnana and worship, Narada was trained up by Lord Brahma in this Upasana thing. And of course Narada was fully trained. Narada was a devotee. So he was having knowledge that until this one is glorifying the Supreme Person, he is not going to be happy eternally. So it's not exactly that Narada, as you say, fails to glorify. He was glorifying. But also, because the other methods of worship are mentioned in this Upasana Kanda only, and as overall he took over this, but he preached mostly about the pure devotional service. And those who want to gradually go via this method of worshipping demigods and other things, for them also the method is there, but Narada was mainly, primarily concerned with preaching of pure devotional service. So, we are not limiting Upasana Kanda only to, basically it covers both. So, pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord and the demigods also. So that's why Narada, when Vyasadeva was not satisfied, he says, you have to glorify the Supreme Lord. So Narada was fully convinced that until unless one glorifies the Supreme Lord, he cannot be happy. Yeah. Karmakanda means when you want to work only for materialistic enjoyment in the material world, ignoring authorities. Of course, if you go for the Karmakanda section of Vedas, then okay, there are some suggestions, you do this, you do this, you do this. But that is solely for material enjoyment in this material world. Whereas Upasana Kanda means basically, you know, worshipping demigods for promotion to the higher planets, which is also material world, but promotion. That's why Prabhupada says, people have become attracted by the higher benefits, but then again, they have to come. That's why he says, Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Sakale Vishaya Bhanda. These all are basically pots of poison. Because they are taking you away from Krishna, so they are not, they are different, you know, same thing in different pots actually. Some people are interested in knowledge, some people are interested in enjoying only in this material world, and some people are interested in enjoying in heavenly planets. So there are different sections, but they all are limited to the material world, at least not to the spiritual world. So that, in that way, he says, of course, their Karma Kanda basically means material activities in this material world, and Upasana Kanda, when it relates to worship of demigods, it basically relates to promotion to heavenly planet, where material life is much better, but of course, in that way. There is a lot actually written in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching to Sarvam Bhattacharya and also to Goswami about this, these three different sections, Karma Kanda, Upasana Kanda, if you go through the folio version, I saw many hits, you know, where Prabhupada is mentioning about this. In C.C. Chaitanya Charitamrita, in teachings to Sarvam Bhattacharya and
Rupa Goswami, how Prabhupada is saying that, how these things relate to these different sections, but they are all contained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, the devotees are mostly interested in the spiritual aspect, which is above this Upasana Kandas, the pure devotional service. That's what I was basically trying to stress. But because it is mentioned, so I just gave an end. Okay. I think so. We are running out of time. I have no problem. Yes.
Just last.
Okay, last.
Yeah. Sometimes when we go in India and we are wearing the Vaishnava dress like Dhoti Kurta, people make laugh of us by saying Panditji. So, how do we take that? In the Purport, Rupa is saying Vaishnava are higher than the.
Yeah. So at least you're making them laugh, that's good. You know, sometimes devotees were, you know, in the street chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and devotees saw that people are making it fun of us. So they went back to Prabhupada and they said, Prabhupada, people laugh at us. Said, that's good. At least by seeing devotees they are becoming happy. otherwise they are worse all the day. So by seeing devotees they are getting actually gas with it. And of course, they are ignorant, so when you are saying that Prabhupada is saying Vaishnavas are higher than Brahmanas, they don't understand and appreciate that point. But still, you have to keep wearing dhoti. Don't think because they are laughing at us, so I should go back to my normal dress if you are interested in putting dhoti. I mean to say, yes, of course, Vaishnavas are higher than Brahmanas, no doubt about it. And because of ignorance, actually, they are saying. And you know, sometimes when you go in dhoti kurta and when you are with tilak, actually they say, oh see, Hare Krishna Maharaj are going. So that's much better. Because they are unknowingly chanting Hare Krishna. So, if you put dhoti kurta, if you put tilak, if you put kanti mala, if you put bead bag around your neck, people recognize you as Hare Krishna devotees. And if unconsciously, even if they say, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, well, that's okay. They are chanting. Then they will get benefited. So, and you know, of course Prabhupada says, people will say so many things. So we are not concerned about what people are saying. We are doing everything for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. People will say so many things. You know the story of, you know, there was a short story. You know, there was a father and a son. I generally tell people, you know, and they went to purchase a horse. So on the way back, they are coming with a horse along, walking along with him. So somebody said, oh, what a fool they are. They are having a horse and still this father is making this son, young son, to walk such a long distance. So the father said, okay son, please ride this horse. And after some time, other fellow said, oh see, what type of son is he? His father is walking and son is comfortably riding on the horse. So then father also got on the horse. And after some time, son said, oh, what merciless people they are. Both of them are riding on the horse. And you know, this horse is so weak. So both got off. So Prabhupada said, people will say something, always. You put dhoti kurta, you don't put dhoti kurta, you chant. So we have to do for the pleasure of Lord. And devotees take it as an opportunity actually. Actually Prabhupada said our Vaishnava dress is an opportunity for preaching. And especially in India, of course here, I don't know about here, but in India if you are wearing this dhoti kurta and especially this Vaishnava tilak and holding a bead bag, and if somebody is interested, but he may not be knowing it, then he will immediately approach. Prabhupada said like in a traffic police, when you see a traffic police in a dress, and if the person needs help, he can easily approach. So, no worries, please don't get worried at all. Don't get worried at all. What people say. Okay? Is it okay? Okay, let's stop it. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Gaura Hari Premanandi. Sorry, I went a little longer. Huh? What happened? This was not good.